Real quick, in this episode, I talk about how I'm going to put some music in here and show you. I start talking about these couple different songs I want you to hear and said I was going to put them in. Turns out I'm traveling. I forgot my earbud, so I couldn't mix it down or whatever. So you're going to have to look it up yourself. Just look up what I talk about. That's it. Enjoy.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Rideshare Diaries. Let's get it. This is probably episode five, perhaps. And I'm here to tell you, I'm just going to jump right into it, right? Because there's something on my mind. It's the partnership between Uber Eats and McDonald's, okay? Uber Eats and McDonald's. Why are these two things partnered up, all right? On an Uber Eats, if you're doing Uber Eats and you go to McDonald's, it's going to tell you that your guaranteed pricing is $4. $4, right? And with the food delivery, so this is Postmates, this is Uber Eats. Those are the only two I do. I assume DoorDash is similar, and if there's another one, I think there's some other one. The main thing that you're getting on those are tips. So if you are ordering food being brought to you by some dude in his car, tip that motherfucker because he's making $4 or $5. I mean, this is like for a general ride. Like if I got to go to McDonald's and I got to drive a couple miles, that's going to be like $4. Now, if it's 10, 11 miles, they add a couple dollars to it, but not a lot. Tip those motherfuckers. They got wear and tear on their car, 53.5 cents a mile or 54.5 cents a mile, something like that. Okay, so we ain't making shit on that. Tip us. But going back to my point, other restaurants, the charge is a little higher than that, right? A little higher than that, but not much. But the point with McDonald's is that the people who are ordering McDonald's are not the kind of people who are fucking tipping their drivers. They're fucking just, you know, stoners or people who are ordering fast food at 12 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? They're those. So just think of those types. I'm one of those types, right? But I'll tip because I have experiences that let me know that I should tip. But these motherfuckers don't even know that they should tip. So I'm going into McDonald's. This is the second half of the problem. Sorry. I'm going into McDonald's every time. And just getting annoyed. I'll say most times up until this one particular time I'm going to tell you, I get annoyed because no one there gives a fuck about their job. Because they're making $7.35 an hour. And that's a whole different political debate we can talk about at some other point. But my point is, in the current state of affairs, they don't make enough money to give a fuck. And I don't blame them. I blame the fact that Uber Eats and McDonald's have partnered up. Why do you think this is a good idea? I don't know why I accept them. This is why I accept them. I'm an Uber Pro. Literally. I'm a status of Pro Gold membership or some shit. And that means that you can see the direction that you're going. And I guess you can probably always see the restaurant you're picking it up. Duh, I didn't think of that. But whether or not you want to accept will affect a few things. If you keep turning down certain deliveries or certain, you know, too many in a row, you'll lose your status because you got to keep a certain acceptance rating. So I end up having to accept some of these McDonald's things. So I go into McDonald's where no one gives a fuck. I go there and I'm trying to get people's attention. They just fucking ignore me. No one there speaks English, which, again, another political debate we can have at some other point in time, but it's inconvenient, right? And yeah, I should know how to speak Spanish because I'm half Mexican, but that's, once again, another debate. Most of your Uber drivers are, I ain't going to say that. There's probably quite a high number of Spanish speaking. Yet, I'm going into McDonald's, where the main problem is that no one there gives a fuck to ask me if I need something. They're just running around going, order number three, ooh, fuck you, ooh, I done told you to put these fucking fish McGriddles in the fucking, and then you got customers behind you. These motherfuckers, man, they just don't know how to do shit. Man, where's the line? Who's, I've been trying to order for 10 minutes. You got all this going on. And I end up being in there for 10 minutes trying to, and this is every fucking time. There have been a few successful occasions, okay? But I go up there and no one's there to give me my shit. No one's there. I have to end up either being aggressive, hanging over the counter, making me feel like I feel that I'm more important than the other people who have been there longer standing in line. But I am a delivery guy. I got to get the shit and go. It's got to, you know? So it's just not, and then I finally get it after waiting for 10 minutes to make $4 because no one tips me. And that's driving to the McDonald's, waiting for 10 minutes, driving to the thing. I've probably spent 22 or 5 or 30 minutes for $4. I'm tired of doing it. But here is one particular instance that I'm telling you guys, when I say that, I don't get mad anymore. Like, the true sensation of being mad I used to have. When I was a kid, I had an aggressive temper. I'm talking unhealthy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what happened in my very early childhood, just beyond my ability to recall memories vividly, but I was aggressive as a little kid. I'm talking about just evil, dude. And I remember the fits of rage I would get. It went all the way up into my early 20s. I would get so mad, dude. I would punch shit, punch holes in walls, punch people who I had no business punching, who could just beat the shit out of me, and luckily most of the time didn't, because I was so much smaller. And this is like an early childhood to middle school, you know. I had an older cousin who I fucking punched in the face multiple times, and only one time did he ever retaliate, and we got in a pretty wild brawl. And I'd say, I mean, I did get a hold of him. He had a black eye the next day. But I had braces, and he punched my whole, my braces through my lip. That was a rough one. That shit hurt. And, I don't want to say through my lip, but my braces got stuck to my skin, and I had to dig it out painfully in the mirror, bleeding and crying. It hurt, but I was mostly embarrassed because I got my ass beat in front of several members of the family who gazed on in amusement, I think, mostly. Maybe a little bit of shock, I would say. Both in the fact that I would hit him and maybe that he beat the fuck out of a little dude like me, because this guy's fucking, dude, he's probably 6'1" or 2" at the time, and I'm like 5'6", you know? Hold on, coffee break. But anyway, I used to get real mad, you know what I mean? I would have fits where I would just break shit, this and that, and that was anger. I used to feel anger. And then something snapped in my body, in me, right, that caused me to not get angry. For some reason, I think it's logic. I think certain books I read and certain fucking, I don't know. At some point, I just realized that you can think, you can put yourself in other people's, you can put yourself in other people's positions and then realize that nothing in life is personal. Nothing's ever personal, right? Like, the reason I feel that I used to get mad the most is because I felt personally attacked or personally, you know, exploited in some way. But now I realize that everybody is about themselves, and anything that, you know, they do to you is probably some extent of them trying to help themselves, or even, you know, some other deeper shit. Maybe they're trying to hurt themselves. They're self-destructive. Whatever it is, it's normally not because of anything personally deep within inside of you, you know? So you're fine, and the more that you can understand the motives of that person, the more you can empathize, whatever, with them, and actually maybe use this situation to help both you and them grow, you know? And I'm not saying I always think that way, but I at least don't get mad, like, see red, punch shit mad, get in a fight. Dude, I don't get in fights. If you know what I mean? Like, if we're in a bar and somebody bumps into me or someone even starts talking shit, that's inconvenient. for me to get in a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta get, at the very least, you know, my hair messed up or my shirt stretched out, and I'm in public, dude. I came here for something other than getting all roughed up. You know what I mean? So if you need to feel like your dick is bigger than mine, if you need to, you know, impress the ladies, I'm here for you, brother. I'll back down and make you seem like a badass because I don't care about that stuff. I just don't. You know what I mean? Like, there is very little that anyone in the world can say to me to piss me off, because in the grand scheme of things, to offend me, you must be someone I hold very, very truly dear and close. You know what I mean? Like, I have to love you. I have to love you for you to actually make me mad. And there's only a few of those. So all that to say that 2 days ago when I went into a fucking McDonald's to get this person's food, I once again felt that rage that I used to feel in the earlier stages of my life, where you almost black out and lose control of your body's, you know, motor functions, really. So I go into this McDonald's, right? And I'm already like, God dang it, McDonald's. And it's down. And I'm just going to tell you where it was, dude. Or should I? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I might get specific about these people. Might get specific about what these people look like. So I'm not going to tell you which McDonald's it was, but it was busy and the lobby was open. I go in and so I'm standing there and I'm making eye contact with people and like kind of doing my hand up in a gesture as to say, hello, I have something that I am needing from you all. You know, like, I'm a customer, or, you know, and I think there's probably, and this is just me projecting or putting myself in the situation of being, because I used to work in retail, and there's certain generalizations you make about people who walk in just to save yourself time from going out of your way to do anything, or even maybe you just get annoyed and you're a bad employee, whatever it is. I know that probably something that goes on there is they see people come in with these bags knowing that they're Uber drivers or Postmates delivery people, and they're like, fuck, another one of these, dude. I gotta get this food out to these customers. That shit's already there. You know what I mean? The actual customer isn't here, so I don't gotta hear from them. If I just ignore this dude for a minute to satisfy another customer who's in the store right now, you know? And I feel like we get some of that. Whatever the case, I'm sitting there for a long time. I realize, because one thing they do have in McDonald's is they got this screen that will tell you orders in progress and orders ready. And on Uber Eats, you get a code. It'll be like E23765, and it'll be either now serving or in progress. Now, if it's in progress, I'm annoyed, but I at least know that it ain't ready, so I can't push the buck. I can't push the deal. You know what I mean? But as soon as I walked in the door, in this case, my order is now serving. And so I'm like, what's going on? I'm standing there. I bet I'm there for 5 minutes. And finally, I noticed they're setting the bags on this little tray over there and not saying shit to anybody when they do it. I look and I can see in big letters, my letters on the receipt over there. So I go, hey, man, maybe they've got it so efficient in this particular McDonald's that they just set it there and you grab it and you walk out the door. Oh, man, I'm in the wrong. I've been so stupid and getting mad. I'm just not obeying their system. You know, so I can't be mad about that. I should have paid more attention. That's literally what's in my head. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go over there to grab it, and I no more touch the bag than I hear this guy go, hey, sir, don't steal our food. No, actually, this is how he said it. Hey, sir, don't steal our food. And I turn, and I see the skinniest, nerdiest, white, garbage fucking piece of shit that I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how to say it creatively. I could literally fucking beat the shit out of this little skinny dude. And he comes up to me with all of the confidence of Donald Trump or something. I don't know. He just comes up way too confident, gets in my face. Don't you be stealing our food. Again, I'm like, I said, what are you talking about? This is mine. And I put my phone up and show him that I have the code. I was like, I'm Uber Eats and I'm taking this. I gotta go. And I get that excited about it. I usually don't talk that loud. Right? So I'm gonna try to copy how it went. I'm just gonna do the conversation to you, right? And I'll use my voice and I'll use this voice for that guy so you can get a sense of how the interaction went. Okay. Oh, I gotta get that. Hey, sir, don't steal our food. And I just look at him. Don't steal our food. I'm not, dude. This is mine. I'm Uber Eats. I gotta go. And I show it to him. And then he just goes, you need to accept that on your phone first. He grabs it out of my hands, holds it up like by his ear, like, no, mine. And pulls it up like that. And I said, dude, what the fuck? And I accepted it. I said, now give me my fucking food. And I snatched it out of his hand. And I was like, y'all don't. I stood over there for 5 minutes and saw that my food was over here. Nobody asked me anything. And then this, this strong black woman, she's like, we did too. We asked you, did you need something? I said, no, you did not. I said, I sat over there for 5 or 10 minutes. Nobody even looked at me. This is my food. Y'all need to get y'all's fucking shit together. And then I zipped up my bag and I walked out the door. And the whole time I'm walking out, I'm just thinking, I should go back and just beat the fuck out of that motherfucker. I was so mad, dude. I was shaking. There were 20 people in the store, dude. And they all witnessed me lose my shit like I'm a regular old crazy person. But I feel like they were very unprofessional. You don't just accuse me of stealing when you clearly know I'm doing Uber Eats. I get it. Maybe people do steal food. That would be a good idea, but just address it differently. I was already feeling like I had made a mistake. You could have just said, sir, are you Uber Eats? Could I see the code? Oh, yeah, sure, man. I get it, you know? But no, you come at me like that, like I couldn't just kill you with my bare hands. Oh, my God, I was so mad. I got in my car. I'm driving. I'm talking to myself. I'm like, motherfucker, this is my food, you fucking piece of shit. I should fucking kill you, you know? Like, I was literally talking. And I was making up shit, what I should have said, what I should have did for like 20 minutes, dude. I was shaking, bro. But we got through it, dude. So, yeah, it's been a... Yeah, it's been, Uber Eats has been fun. I've been doing that. Dude, another thing that's been happening is, so sometimes you'll get longer rides, right? And on the longer rides, I like to, cause like mostly I'll listen to 104.5 on the radio. Now I just listen to whatever I want to listen to, right? But when I accept a ride, I got the main things I put it on as to be considerate of anyone who might be getting in. Now I'll listen to either 104.5 on the radio, which is talk sports radio, 107.5, which is Nashville's local pop popular music station, or I'll put it on this pop channel on Spotify. And recently I've started using George Strait's Greatest Hits, 50 number ones album or whatever, and that one's actually been a pretty big hit, and I love George Strait, never made a bad song. But, and it is funny because I'll see the person or I'll see the person's name and I'll make generalizations about who I think they probably are. And I'll choose one of those things. And, it's hit or miss, man, because you can't fucking, you know, judge a book like that. But, you can read the summary on the back to get a general idea. And so I'll try that. But anyway, on longer rides, like if it's 10, 15 minutes, 8, anything, I'll just, leave it on one of those general things. But if it's like 45 minutes plus, I'll be like, hey, you got anything you want to listen to? It's going to be a long ride. Like, I've been experimenting with that. I've had two interesting experiences. One, and look, man, I'm trying to get more like politically correct on this podcast just because, you know, I don't want to isolate or alienate anyone. So I'm sorry. But things just are what they are, right? And sometimes I don't know how people view me, if they view me as like some kind of Hispanic, like brown guy, or if they just see me as a white dude, right? And it's real weird. And then when I start talking, I assume that they probably think I'm just a redneck, but I don't know. You know, it's weird being like this color, but growing up with the background I grew up. because I'm basically just a brown fucking country boy. You know what I mean? White country boy. But anyway, so I get in the car, right? No, I don't get in the car. I'm getting lost in my own head here. I pick up this dude. He's African American and slightly a larger gentleman, we'll say, obtuse, robust type of guy. Not obtuse. I don't mean to suggest that he wasn't smart. He gets in, and I'm like, and we got to go, like, 50 minutes. And I'm like, hey, man, you want to listen to anything? He goes, I don't know, B. Slade. So he's a little, he got a kind of like a feminine vibe. And he goes, B. Slade. And I said, all right. And I'm going to try to find the song that came on. I'm going to try to put one of the songs in right here so you can hear it. Like, he even throws out the F, the hard F word. And I'm like, oh, no, this is uncomfortable for me. Like, there's nothing wrong with the music, but you're bringing in such a dichotomy of fucking shit. And I don't know, maybe I should have been like, hey, man, do you want to talk about racial and sexual orientational relationships? I mean, relations in society or something? Do we need to have a conversation? But it was just awkward, man. The whole way, I'm just like, dude, I don't know if this guy is trying to give me a message. It was very preacher. I looked up the guy, and it turns out that his dad was a preacher, and his dad passed away, and he actually ended up becoming the lead preacher of the church. And he's got a real weird background. I'm talking about B. Slade. Look him up if you want to. But he's very preacher-like, and so it felt like I was listening to a sermon about, like, I don't know. You just got to listen to this dude. I just felt very awkward for 50 minutes, right? So the next ride I get is this other dude, and he's cool. He seems cool. We start talking. It turns out he wants to do, like, stand-up comedy, so I was like, you got to go to these open mics and this and that. I was like, hey, man, what kind of music do you want to listen to? He goes, I don't know. Put on a... And he's going to fucking Mick Ewen, Tennessee from Nashville. Do you know where Mick Ewen is? It's 30 miles off of Interstate 40 down by Dixon, Tennessee. Oh, and while we're speaking of Dixon, Tennessee, I gotta talk about our sponsor, Dixon Cider. When you want a good, hard, alcoholic cider to get your girl riled up for the party, try Dixon Cider. Available at select gas stations and liquor stores where they sell craft beer. Dixon Cider. It ain't fun unless you're having she ain't having fun unless she's having Dixon Cider. You know what I mean? So support our sponsor, Dixon Cider, alcoholic cider beverages for your everyday party needs. So I was in Dixon, Tennessee, and I keep doing that, man. I'm getting fucking sidetracked. I pick up this dude. He's going to McEwen. It's an hour in like 36 minutes or something. Longest ride I ever got up until that point. And I was like, you want to listen to anything? And at one point he goes, put on King 810 or 810. I don't know what he called it, but it's a very, very heavy metal band, which honestly, I kind of like the music, but the lyrics are insane. And he made me listen to this album. I'm going to tell you what album it is. And I'll actually throw a little snippet of this in for you, too. Let's see. King 810 album La Petite Mort or A Conversation something. Oh, La Petite Mort or A Conversation with God. And it's all about the devil is inside of me. The devil. Oh, the devil's got my soul. I'm gonna murder people. Your kids will not love you. Your kids will reside in my soul. My soul. I will come to you. I will London screw you. Oh, God. Too many fathers before us are dying in car. It's wild, but he explained to me that this is a band from Flint, Michigan, who Flint, Michigan, if you don't know, is in turmoil and chaos. This is everything he told me. So if it's not true, blame this random guy that I drove on rideshare. But he says that, you know, because Flint, Michigan's been basically deserted because they ain't got no water. The car industry is not what it used to be. It's a very poverty place. And there's this one group, King 810, who formed a street gang. And they got a metal band, and they run the town, basically. And their music is kind of cool, because you do get that the music does go along with that story, because he's also saying shit like, "We sell drugs, and we got guns, and we support our community." You know? Apparently, the lead singer used to be a rapper. But what he says is that during this album, they got on, and listen, once again, this is just what a random dude told me. If it's not true, I apologize, because these seem like some real tough dudes, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to talk shit, I'm actually just trying to get you to listen to their album. It's good. But what he said is that they got on heroin through the middle of that album, and they got progressively and progressively worse off on it. And if you listen to the album, it starts off real hard like this, and then it mellows out to something like The Doors would play by the end. And they got some really great songs there toward the end. My favorite song on there is actually called Me and Maxine. It's a pretty dope song. Check it out. But it was interesting because it was something, once again, so different from my everyday listening. Heavy metal is probably the only thing that I don't listen to. So an hour and a half we're riding just listening to this album, like, and there's certain times when it's just saying some crazy shit, dude. And I don't know, do I make eye contact with them? Do we need to talk about religion? Are you okay? You know what I mean? Like, it's just these awkward tension moments. Long rides, just, you know, if you're asking someone what music they want to listen to, just realize you might be in for an interesting selection, you know. Maybe give them a range of choices. Maybe don't just leave it wide open for them, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, I started working out again yesterday. I shouldn't say I started working out. I did work out yesterday. I will work out after this, hopefully. I'm sore, but I feel good. I got to start doing it again before I die of a daggum heart attack or a blood clot or something like that. You know, I just got to start moving around again and all that. You know, just been out here in these streets, just driving around. Hold on, coffee. Just been driving around in these streets, doing open mics. Yesterday was tough. I've been working on brand new stuff that I've been trying to write every day, man. And writing is, man, it's tough. You got to sit down and come up with brain tricks to make people giggle, you know? I mean, it's tough. And so yesterday I did two mics. I did one at Rosie's Twin Kegs, and I did one at the East Room in East Nashville. It's an awesome venue. Definitely go there and check out some music, or even check out the open mic show. If you listen to this in time, go tomorrow, February 27th at 8:30 p.m. and see this show with Evan Norman and Carl Roberts III, two Chongs, Make a Right. It also has Josh Lewis, Sean Parrott, Taylor Williams, Corey Perry, Tanner Newcomb, and Jasper D. Platt, a bunch of local comics that I see many times a week at these open mics. They're doing a show for $5. Support local comedy. It's at the East Room, 8:30 p.m. for $5. I'm sure it's going to be a great show, but that's a cool room. So I did those two last night, and, you know, it's just fucking failure until you succeed, bro. You know, I have a couple new things that made some people laugh. I had some shit that fell flat on its face, and, you know, it's just, oh, sometimes it hurts. You're like, just pride in your ego, you know. But I just gotta keep pushing through. Tried to go to the Crying Wolf. I was gonna try my first ever three mic night. Got there just a little late because I was at the East Room late and I ran over. And I'm sure I could have got up, but I didn't want to bother anybody and be like, hey, could you let me go even though I wasn't here in time? So I didn't do three, man. Didn't do three. I will eventually. A cool thing, though, that happened to me last night after all that. So I drove, you know, got up in the morning, 9 a.m., wrote a little jokes, you know. Went to the gym, came back, showered, got in a car, drove around, did two open mics, got back in my car, started driving again, and, you know, it got to be pretty damn late. That's a long day. It got to be about 2 a.m. There's this restaurant you have to try, and it's called San Jose's Fiesta, and it is in Tennessee. It's in Antioch or something. Let's see. San Jose Fiesta on 99 Wallace Road, Nashville. What? It's one star restaurant. Are you fucking kidding me? I thought it was good. It's one star on something that's one star. I don't even know if I want to tell you to go there. Tell me if you've had experience with this place. Here's what happened. These motherfuckers are open at damn near 2 a.m. I go in there. It's like a club. They got fucking lights everywhere, but nobody's there except these two authentic Mexican dudes sitting at the bar. So you know it's good because they got real Mexicans in there hanging out at 1:30, bro. And I go in there and get the food, come out. The lady starts messaging me on Uber. Hey, I'm actually at the Sheraton downtown. This is like 12 miles away from that shit. And I'm like, I can't bring it to you, dude. Is the address that you got in there originally not it? She's like, blah, blah. So I call support. Support goes, hey, excuse me. Let me check and see if there's somebody at the original address that can get it. If not, you ain't got to bring it because that's too far. She calls back, hey, you know, you don't have to bring this. Nobody at the original address can take the food. And I know what this bitch was trying to do. She was trying to, I'm sure she was up late at night after a night of partying on Fat Tuesday, you know. And so she was like, man, we got to get some Mexican food brought to her, but it's so late. Oh, I found this one restaurant on Uber Eats. Oh, it's not available in our area. I know. I'll make up an address in the area, get it, and then try to trick the Uber driver into bringing it to me. No, thank you. The lady called me back and was like, yeah, you don't got to bring it. Please dispose of the food properly. Dispose of the food property? You mean in my stomach? So I opened that shit up, dude, and it was so good. It was authentic. They had carnitas and steak tacos and the corn tortillas. Oh, my fucking God, bro. They were fucking good, delicious. I still got a quesadilla down there in the refrigerator I'm going to eat today. But it was authentic. It was good. It was available late at night. San Jose Fiesta 99. Shit. San Jose Fiesta. Hold on. San Jose Fiesta 99 Wallace Road, Nashville, Tennessee. Check it out online. That shit was delicious. But they got a one-star rating on Google, so I don't know what that means. Maybe because people felt endangered. You know. It's always good if you feel slightly unsafe in an ethnic restaurant. Here's another example. There's this place called Nashville Pizza and... Fuck, what is it called? Nashville Pizza and Pasta. Is that it? Let me look this up. Hold on. Nashville Pizza and Pasta is the restaurant. And it's 1201 Dickerson Pike in Nashville, Tennessee. They don't open until 4 p.m. and they are open till 4 a.m. And let me tell you, dude, I've been there a couple times on Uber Eats and Postmates deliveries, and you might go in there and you might not see anybody there, but then there's this little back room, you go back there and there's a bunch of, I don't know what ethnicity they are, but they're something. They're Middle Eastern or they are maybe Eastern European, something like that. Or some kind of Russian. I don't know what they are. There's something that ain't, you know, just regular old American. Not to say that they aren't American because they live here and they're pursuing the American dream, but it's authentic as fuck is what I'm telling you. It ain't Italian. I mean, I don't think they're Italian. I'll say that. But they'll be back there in the back, just all gathered around whispering secrets and shit. And, dude, I'm telling you, bro, that's authentic as fuck. And it looks good. It smells good. But you never know what that, they might got some kind of damn, you know, organized crime. If you don't, you know, if you're in an ethnic place, you want some kind of organized crime going on in the background, you know, vaguely visible to the general public, but not quite enough that you can actually accuse them of anything specific. They definitely had some secrets going on back there, but that food smelled good. I gotta try it out sometime. Check it out. Nashville Pizza and Pasta. I don't got a lot else, much else to say on here. I hope everybody's having a good this portion of your life. I hope that you're out there busting your ass, getting it, getting, you know, hustling, getting that money, you know, encouraging your friends, hugging the ones you love, telling them you love them, doing some sex if you're into that kind of stuff. I just hope you're living your best life. Go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our show, please, and rate us 5 stars specifically. If you're not going to rate us 5 stars, don't rate us. Leave a comment, too. If you're going to rate us, leave a comment. We really appreciate the feedback. This one person recently after last episode, and I understand the last few episodes we've done have not been great. And also, I would like to apologize for the insensitive things that Sam and I said about Ryan Newman on last week's episode, because I did not realize someone told me that he has brain damage. That, yeah, he walked out of the hospital, that he has brain damage. I've done no research on this, but I'm so sorry if that's true, because I never once considered the fact that that could have happened, and I should have thought about that. I do not apologize much. I really do feel bad about that if he does have brain damage, because, man, that sucks, dude. He's got daughters, and if he's not the same, like, you know what I mean? Like, if his cognitive function is messed up so that he's no longer the person he once was, that is very, very sad, and I hope that's not the case. I hope maybe he just had a concussion and he's going to be back on his feet. So, for real, prayers for him. And to this person who left a 3-star rating, I had this big long rant I was going to go on, but I don't even, you know. We had 37 5-star ratings. Now we got 1-3. And you know what? You know, I would rather even put 1, though, because he's just right in the middle of the road. He went through his time to, and I'll say he probably was a she, honestly, just because, you know, toxic masculinity that is on this podcast, you know, sometimes it reeks of that. But, whoever it was, they took extra time out of their day to give us an average rating, which is just odd. It's usually very good or very bad. And I'd rather have a 1-star than a 5-star, just so we can seem like we're a little controversial. Now it just seems like we're got a lot of people who likes us, and you know, some people are I could take it or leave it. I'd rather people leave it than take it or leave it on any given day. So go to that and subscribe, and we love you, and shout out to the Lord for making this all possible. All right, I'm out of this. Be